to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hey, Brains. Are you ready to take the top off of your sex toy box and squirt you out a ball buster? Well, you better be, because the conversation is going to be pointy, edgy, kinky, and sharp. So go on and get your kids out the room, because we are going to be talking about kink and polyamory relationships with sex and relationship therapist Jamila Dawson. Oh, yes, she's back. Yes, and we are taking the top off the box. You know, people are inhibited when it comes to their sex, when it comes to their relationships, and what they think about it. I want to let you know what is surfacing, what's on top, what's new, what's trendy, what's hot. How are people getting down with many loves? I tell you, it's complicated. Or maybe it's conducive. So we're going to talk to Jamila today a little bit about that. We're going to go over some of the myths that people have, misconceptions, and she's going to give us some tips on how to get kinky. And then after that, probably hang up off the phone. You go in there and find you a sweet freak and go back to bed. So we want to welcome to the Edge, Jamila Dawson. Hey, how you doing, JD?
Hello. I'm good. How are you, April?
Girl, the Brains are ready for this, okay? Their hearts have been pumping and beating all week. And look at the phone line. What? This is ridiculous. You guys are some kinky people.
I'm rather titillated myself.
So I want to talk about what this is. I think we're going to start with polyamory. Am I saying that correctly? Polyamory?
You are. Polyamory.
Polyamory relationships. Now, from the definition that I got, it says it's philosophy or state of being in love or romantically involved with more than one person at the same time. Polyamory is the practice of or desire for intimate relationships with more than one partner, with the knowledge of all partners. It has been described as consensual, ethical, and responsible non-monogamy. Or is it just a straight fuck fest? Tell us.
You know, a lot of people have the misconception, right, that polyamory or ethical non-monogamy is just all about sex. And on the one hand, there's nothing wrong with lots of sex. That's fabulous. I want more people to have great, safe sex.
Mm-hmm.
But polyamory or ethical non-monogamy is really about cultivating relationships and about there's a lot of us who we're not going to get every single thing that we want out of our partner, and there's nothing wrong with that. That if you have a partner and everything's wonderful and great, but there's certain either needs or interests that you have that another partner can fulfill, why do we have to either stop the first relationship or not engage in a second relationship to get all of our needs filled? And we can also offer other parts of ourselves to other partners. So polyamory for a lot of people is providing wonderful support to let parts of themselves come out. So I think it can be very healthy and wonderful.
It could be complicated because, I don't know, I'm a selfish lover. I want it all. Okay?
Well, so
I want it all. You be
that,
pushing up on my sweet thing and you might pull back a toe tag.
Well, you better, and that's why it's really, really important that an ethical non-monogamous only engages with other people who want the same thing. So there's always a lot of conversation, a lot of negotiation, and polyamory and ethical non-monogamy. If you do not like to talk, if you do not like to negotiate and share about your feelings, this is not the world for you. So there's really so much communication and transparency that happens. But it's
so check this out. This is myth number two. Is it for people who don't want to commit? You know, that you got the player out there. Oh, you know, baby, I'm not ready to commit to this relationship right now. You know, can we take it in another direction?
Right, I want to settle down.
Is that game he's running? Do you want a bunch of freaks, or does he want a polyamory relationship? What am I reading here?
And what really depends in that situation, what's so important is him being clear about what he wants. And people who are polyamorous, typically they want relationships. They want to spend time building emotional connection with a variety of people. And we're all bound by time and resources, so most people will get what's called polysaturated, which means you literally only have time and resources for, you know, two or three relationships.
Right.
But you put energy and time and care into those relationships. This isn't, oh, I just want to hit this and move on, and you can't tell me, you know, you can't control me. And that's usually what players do. It's like, it's about manipulation. It's mm-hmm. about people not knowing that another partner exists. And it's only about that one person getting pleasure. Whereas mm-hmm. polyamory is about, hey, if something's not working, then let's all talk about it and figure out what we can do to enhance the relationship. So that's what I love about it, that there's so much transparency about your needs, your concerns, your wants, your desires. And people really support each other to have the healthiest relationships that they can have.
Right. It's about as transparent as that plastic suit they be wearing with the kink, but we're going to get to that in a minute. Now let's go to myth number three.
Yeah, latex. Yeah, let's talk about latex later.
No, not latex. I'm talking about clear plastic. Clear plastic. I was at in Hollywood and went past a club, and I mean, baby girl had on, she butt naked, had on a clear plastic suit. But I'm going to ask you about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Let's go back to myth number three.
Okay.
Polyamory participants can never really work because humans are jealous by nature. What do you find from your clinical perspective? I told you, Bob. I told you, you touch mine, you're going to get a toe tag. Because, yes, I'm possessive.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we, so many of us, have been told that love means having to hold on to our person, that you can't share that person, that their sexuality belongs to you or your sexuality belongs to them. And really, your sexuality belongs to you solely, and you get to share it with whomever you choose or don't choose to do so. And so this idea that jealousy is the reason to not do something, because I'll just be very blunt. There's lots of things in life that cause us discomfort. Having children
right.
causes us discomfort. Getting an education causes us discomfort. Going to work causes us discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow there's value in what it takes to get those things, that we derive certain supports from a job, certain things from having children, certain things from getting that education. There's value in it. And so for those of us who are polyamorous, there's enough value in developing these relationships that jealousy is not the reason to stop. Jealousy is a signal. Pain is always a signal that something needs to be tended to. Not,
so jealousy,
oh,
wait,
I'm
sorry.
Feeling
so you're equating jealousy with pain? Is that?
If you've ever felt jealous, it does hurt. It does hurt a bit. And so instead of going, oh, I'm jealous, this needs to stop, it can instead be a tool to say, oh, I'm feeling jealous. That's a signal I need to talk with my partner. That's a signal that I need to do some inner work about why is it that I'm feeling jealous. Is there some insecurity that I haven't had a chance to look at before? So it can be a wonderful opportunity for self-growth. Discomfort is not always a reason to stop doing something. It's
right, and jealousy, you know, that jealousy is a very real emotion. I don't always look at
it
as negative. I look at it as like a warning sign, you know, because it's a way to be aware. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be vindictive. You don't have to be hurtful. And you can still experience jealousy as a very real emotion. So, you know, I hear you on that. So now myth number four.
And you said that beautifully.
Thank you. Number four, it says orgies are the name of the game. Is that it with the polyamory relationship?
No. These are great myths. I'm so glad that you're bringing all these up because so many, these are all very
strong. I'm trying to unleash the freaks
untrue.
On the edge. I'm trying to give them a way out.
I know. Like,
so
liberate yourself. Liberate yourself. Right. Right. Because so many polyamorous people, they're still living under these myths, and it can be very hurtful when you're trying to talk to somebody about your polyamorous relationship and they keep thinking that any problems are because it's polyamorous, not simply because relationships are difficult and challenging. So, in polyamory, everything is negotiated. So there are some polyamorous relationships where everybody is involved with everybody else. Those can be called quads or triads. There's polyamorous relationships where people, like if I have a partner, then each of us dates separately and our partners know about each other, but we're not engaging sexually with one another. And those are all things that can be negotiated. Yes, that's what we're looking for, but that's not what we're looking for. And so, but we, everybody's communicating about.
Yeah, it seems like you got to fill out an application.
You better
you
be
fill
very
out an application
clear
to find
about
the fit,
what
you know
want.
What I'm saying?
Well, there's so many more resources now. It's really beautiful. There are conferences that take place all across the nation to support polyamorous people and their families. There's websites dedicated, dating websites dedicated to people who are polyamorous. And all of it is designed if you want to expand your relationship horizons, if you want to learn how to communicate better, how to be transparent, how to grow and really become who it is you want to be, then here are supports and resources that can help that. And none of this
okay,
is to
then,
say
you know,
that monogamy is bad.
Do people start in polyamorous relationships and then they take it to the next level and have polygamous marriages? Is that kind of, you know, is that where you kind of start to get your feet wet?
There's no, right, there's no levels at all. And polygamy is its own thing, like, and as we all know, not legal in most places. But polyamory is literally about, I want to have more than one loving, ethical relationship. Right. And the thing, like, I don't want to speak ill of any particular religion, but what separates polyamory from other situations, again, is the freedom to choose the relationship, that both people collaborate or all people collaborate to create a relationship that's healthy, reciprocal. It can change at any time if people agree to it. You can leave if you want to. You can enhance it if you want to. But there's a great deal of freedom and choice. So it's not about one guy trying to get as many wives as he wants or something like that. Polyamory.
So are
really,
poly people more at risk of STI?
Great.
That's another
question.
Myth.
In fact, I would say that they are not, because one of the baseline conversations that we have are about safer sex practices. Most, I would say, straight monogamous people or serial daters who are monogamous don't talk about their STI status. They don't know. They haven't been tested recently. They don't know the last time they were tested. And most polyamorous or ethical non-monogamous, if you talk with them, like, oh, yeah, I got tested 6 months ago, 6 months ago. I have this STI or I don't have any STIs. And it's a very fluid conversation. And to me, that makes me feel much safer, that I'm in a community where it's very normal and very expected that people would know what their status is and be able to talk about it quite easily. And people know how to use condoms. They know how to use dental dams, gloves, whatever it is that we need to protect ourselves as we're engaging, if we want to engage sexually.
Okay. Well, we're gonna. I'm gonna ask you myth number 7 and see if you can give me an answer to that. And then we're gonna move into some kink. I want to welcome all of my new brains that are listening here with us on the edge with April Mahoney and sex and relationship therapist Jamila Dawson. We are talking about polyamory relationships, and then we're gonna kick in some kink. So, myth number 7: polyamory practitioners never get attached to one another. Is that true, or from your experience?
Not at all. Not at all. That's, in some ways, like, that doesn't fit within polyamory. So the whole point is to be in a relationship to other people. And I've seen one of my favorite examples. I have these friends. They've been married for years. They opened up their relationship to polyamory. The husband had this long-term girlfriend. And at a particular party, you know, everybody was there. At a particular party, one of the host children hurt herself. And obviously the mom was very concerned, had to take the child to the hospital. And the girlfriend was the one who kept everything going, let people know what was going to happen, got the house cleaned up, straightened up, the guests, like, settled in, and, like, left the house clean and neat so that when the mom came home with her daughter, everything was fine and she didn't have to worry about anything. And to me, that is this beautiful example, and that's not unusual. that in
Yeah, she wanted
family,
to clean up the evidence
care.
How they got down on the get down.
No, because it wasn't a sex party. It was literally a barbecue with children, and it was really quite lovely. And so that, to me, was a beautiful example of, like, polyamory is about relationships first
right. And
sex second, that I care about you and I want you to be okay.
All right. That's pretty.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Well, now let's kick it up a notch. Talk about some kink. Definition of kink?
Go
kink. Shape, twist, or curve in something that is otherwise straight. Go on, tell us what kink means in the sex world, Dolphin.
Right, I love that because it's so accurate. So really, kink is any erotic exploration that's not your typical sex. For most people, especially straight people, sex is we do some foreplay, then the penis goes in the vagina, one person, hopefully two people, have an orgasm, and then we're done. Kink is what I call creative sexuality, which is you can play with sensation, you can play with power, you can play with different roles, that your sex life takes on more shape, more texture, more color. And you can be as creative with it as you want and be playing with like a flogger or gentle spanking. It can be very high sensation stuff if you want, but it can be erotic in a way that's not just a penis goes in a vagina. And that's what I love about kink, that it's expanded sexuality.
Wow.
And really, and this is what I tell people when I train, that it's not, that all of us have done non-normative sex. All of us have, you know, at one time or another, probably fed a partner some food. Oh, open your mouth, I want to feed this to you. That's a little miniature power dynamic. That's a little bit of like eroticism that's not just sexual. It's sexy and fun. That's kinky.
Right.
So
and
people
so, again,
not be
people
so
have
afraid
to,
of
it. People have to explore other things. You know, the foreplay is not just the fondling, but it's the, you know, the sex talk. It's the warming of one another. It's the loving. It's the cuddling.
Yes,
it's the
exploration
the, you know,
of bodies.
Exactly. And so is there a whole kink society, or is that considered above ground or underground?
I would say that it's starting to become a little more above ground, but there's still significant stigma, and there's not a lot of laws that are on the books to support people who are kinky. So in some states, if somebody was found out to be kinky, they could potentially lose their job. They could potentially lose access
really?
To their kids. Even if they did, yes. Like, it's still a heavily stigmatized population. And so it really, this culture currently has such a limited view of what eroticism is and what sex is, and we focus way too much on what's considered deviant. But really, it's just different. In kink, what I love when I go to different events is if something isn't hot to you, you don't have to do it. If something is hot to you, you figure out the skills to do it, and you find somebody consents to doing it with you, and then you go off and have a great play scene. So there's a lot of freedom, again, to choose. So kink to me is, and to get back to your kind of your safer sex question, you can have amazing erotic experiences that don't involve the exchange of sexual fluids. So kink sex is some of the safest sex you can have.
Okay. All right. Good. Let me ask you a little bit about S&M. Okay. So define that for our average brain.
So SM is part of the larger acronym, which is BDSM. And BDSM is bondage, dominance, submission, masochism, sadism. And then I think I probably missed one or two. Discipline is in there. So there's like a bunch of things packaged into the BDSM. But SM specifically is sadomasochism. And those are people who... either a sadist is somebody who likes to deliver a variety of sensations. And notice I'm saying sensations. I'm not saying, oh, these are just people who like to hurt people. It's more complex than that. So they like to play with bodies. They like to play with, when you're doing kink or you're doing SM, you're actually getting your neurochemicals involved. So there can be a rush of endorphins, and it can feel incredible. So sadists play essentially with neurochemicals and what the body's capable of. And masochists are people who like to receive sensation. Same thing. It's like like a runner's high. Nobody tells a runner or like a rock climber, like, what's wrong with you? You must be deviant that you want to like do this like extreme thing that you do. Kinksters are the same. We like to play. We like to see like what our bodies can do, and we don't need to climb a mountain to do it. We can just go to our daily club down the street.
And then the get off is the reaction of the other person, or is it a mutual stimulation between both parties that are participating?
Mutual. It's mutual. Okay. And that's what's so delicious, that somebody derives pleasure in doing the thing. Somebody derives pleasure in having the thing done. And it could be a wonderful, I would actually say transcendent experience, because everybody's sexuality is so unique that when you can actually share, oh, this particular thing is really sexy to me, or I want to be vulnerable enough to you to show you this side of me, and you welcome that in and of itself be heady and deeply erotic and really transformative.
Hmm. Wow, yeah, I know. I hear a lot of people that want to transform. I don't know if they're ready for this ride. But don't be afraid, brain.
And that's why I always encourage people, no, get some education. There's classes all over the place. There's books. There's a way to
get
educated.
Well, give us some direction on that. Where would people begin to start if they want to explore either kink or polyamory relationships?
If they, one of my favorite books right now is called Playing Well with Others, by Melina Williams and Lee Harrington. And it's just a wonderful basic primer around, this is what kink is, here's safe words, here's what you need to know. It's a fabulous book called Playing Well with Others.
Right.
Most big cities will have munches, which are non-sexual, non-kink events, where you literally just go to meet people who are interested in kink. They usually take place at a restaurant, and you can find those by going to FetLife.com, FetLife.com, and just look for munches and put in your city, and you'll find all these different classes and events. I'm a big fan of people getting educated first before they do anything kinky. Like, understand what safe words are, understand how to negotiate, go to a few events, look around, meet people. And it can be incredible. You'll learn so much stuff about yourself and about the world. Change in wonderful ways when they first come into kink. I know I did.
Hmm.
But those would be my
again,
two first suggestions.
People forget that, you know, everybody doesn't get down the same all over the world. You know, there's a lot of different fetishes. There's a lot of different exploration. There's a lot of different toys and needs. So, brains, don't be afraid to explore. You know, you don't have to put it on Facebook.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, you got to
You can stay quiet. And that's another, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because the safety and privacy and confidentiality is tantamount. Like, that is primary in SM spaces. No,
right,
cell phones
are
allowed.
It's a very close-knit community, you know? And they respect you and they honor you, probably more so than in a monogamous relationship when someone just straight out disrespects you or goes sleep with somebody else and doesn't try to use any sort of protection to protect themselves or protect their partner, or, you know, have these illegitimate kids or just destroy a whole family because
you
want to down low or the upswing and you don't want to be honest with that. This is a way, this is a community that you can be honest and explore who you are. You know, get the information, do the exploration. If it's not for you, you can step back, no harm, no foul. But if it's for you, you can thrust forward.
They make fun of you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they don't make fun of you. They make fun with you.
No. And there's a lot of laughter. And what we call play. A scene is like, do you want to go play? And that's the thing, I think, being an adult, you've probably noticed, can be kind of intense sometimes and exhausting.
Exactly.
And so it can be fun to go play, you know, and enjoy yourself and explore who you are. This isn't about comparing your development to somebody else's, but about, oh, let me see what shape my sexuality is. That's really what it is at the end of the day.
Right. Jamila, can my brain find out how they can get in contact with you, and if they want to get more information, if they want some direction when it comes to therapy, please tell my brains how to get involved.
Absolutely. People can contact me. They can check my website, which is JamilaDawson.com, and they can always email me through there. I'm also on Psychology Today, again, under Jamila Dawson. They can hit me up on Facebook if they want to be friends and they're not going to be creepy. they're pretty easy to find, and if people have...
They're ignorant, too. They automatically assume that because this is, you know, a part of your life that you participate in or that you enjoy, that you just automatically got freak and come do me or tattooed on your forehead. That ain't happening.
Yeah, and that
you have to be wanted and desired. Everybody don't want everybody, really.
Right. Right.
Really.
And it's about, and that's one of the key things about polyamory and kink. This is all negotiated and always consensual. Yes, I want this. No, I don't want this. I changed my mind. I thought I wanted this, and now I no longer do. And that to be respected and appreciated. I know I appreciate when people say, oh, no, I'm fine. Thank you. I'm like, okay, not a problem. So, yeah,
absolutely.
So JamilaDawson.com. Hit me up, Facebook, Twitter, under Everyday Erotic, and I'd love to hear from people.
Well, you know, like I said, always, I want you to know that you have a bed to lay on here in the edge.
I love
My brain
being
love
on the
you.
Edge.
They're watching you. They're listening to you. They're learning from you. They are learning to open themselves up to a whole different thing when it comes to the get down. Don't be afraid, brains. You don't. Again, like I said, you don't have to make it public. Your love is private, you know, so I need you to get
right.
it in and get it right. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations here on Blog Talk Radio. We've got everything from soup to nuts, literally. Go find me on the World Wide Web at agoodperson.biz. I'm on Twitter, April's on the Edge. Come back again, Jamila. All right, baby girl?
I would love to. Bye, brains.
Bye.